A Weekend with Jason Dacey replay from Money FM 89.3.
This is Money FM 89.3. He's done it again. The prolific Neil Humphreys has written his 20th book. Can you believe it? He just keeps writing and writing and writing. Based here in Singapore, British born. Neil, A Real Pain in the Class. That's your new book. You have the launch this weekend here in Singapore. Tell me about the book.
Yeah, well, it's very interesting, Jason. Thanks for talking to me about it. Yeah, it's a new series, Princess Incognito. First book is called A Royal Pain in the Class, get it right. Mm-hmm. And the reason for that is because I like to follow my daughter. She's now 10, 11 years old. So I'm following her literature patterns as she gets older. That's the first point. So now she's in her pre-Harry Potter phase.
Yes.
I'm sure I'll get to the Twilight phase, but I'm stopping before she gets to 50 Shades of Grey phase. I'm not doing that. She's on her own once she gets that far.
Yeah.
So I always wanted to write a book in this style, in this genre, what we call middle grade fiction. That's for readers from about 7, 8 to about 11, 12. Because bless their cotton socks, they still read books in huge quantities. And I thank their little souls for doing so. That's the first thing. The second thing was, it was my daughter again who inspired me. And I'll say this at the book launch later, but I had, you won't believe this, I had the entire synopsis, the main characters, a basic plot, a series theme worked out in one walk from one escalator to another at Little India MRT.
Fantastic.
That's absolutely true. That's why I always tell young writers out there, people want to, you know, become writers or readers or whatever. The ideas are everywhere. And if you've got a phone, just write it down. My daughter was going up the escalator at Little India MRT and I started talking to her. This was about 2 years ago. And she went, "Don't talk to me, Daddy. Don't talk to me." But that's not the only time she says that.
Yeah.
But
what she's saying it more and more, I guess.
Yeah, oh, God, every day, mate. But what are you doing? "I'm undercover." "Why?" "I'm a princess. But nobody knows I'm a princess." She gave me the idea. Because before that, she had this made-up country called Mulaka Ting. Isn't that a great name? She made it up. Sounds a bit African, a bit South Island, a bit Indonesian, South American.
Mulaka Ting. There's Mullalabar in Australia, so even sounds a bit Aussie.
There you go, Mulaka Ting. So it can be whatever you want to be. And she even made up language called Tingish. And what it was, absolutely true, it was a mixture of English, Singlish, and whatever Chinese word she had learned that week at school. So you'd hear, "Pingguo." I was like, "She's learned apple this week." "Dashiang," that's elephant. "She's learned elephant this week." So it would go like that. So she made her own language, she made her own country, she made her own culture and customs up. And then one day she said, on the MRT, she said, "Daddy, I'm an undercover princess from Mulaka Ting, but nobody in Singapore is allowed to know I'm here." And I thought, that's actually brilliant, you know, because then I could take that and throw her into a neighborhood school, a rough neighborhood school like the one I went to. And then straight away, you've got that cultural clash. You know, you've got that fish out of water. Mm. She's known nothing but wealth and privilege. And she gets thrown, the character, into this really rough neighborhood school where people are mean and poor and are bullies. And so I could take some of my own working class upbringing and I can incorporate that. Plus, I can have a little sly, satirical look at the rich-poor divide that's in Singapore and everywhere. And so we kept walking and I said to my daughter, "Yeah, but you wouldn't be here on your own, would you? You wouldn't send a 10 or 11-year-old girl overseas on your own." She went, "No, I've got my bodyguard." And I thought, that's brilliant. And I made up this name, Uncle Ernie. He pretends he's a handyman. That's what he tells people. But really, he's her bodyguard. Mm. And I said, "But you have to have an antagonist." And so she said, "What's an antagonist?" I said, "Well, you need someone to clash with." And she said, "Oh, we should have this kind of girl." And it was awful. And it was a girl that became awful, Agatha. Mm. And then she always makes fun of me when she comes home and she says, "Daddy, I think so-and-so at school has a crush on me." I'm like, "What?" That's outrageous. So then I thought,
get the shotgun ready.
Yeah, I'll work that part in. So by the time we walked from one escalator to the other, we had a character name, we had a series idea, we had a companion for that character, and we had a reason, because we're like, "Well, why would you be here?" "Well, maybe there's a conflict in their own country and she has to leave suddenly, like a royal conflict, a civil unrest between government and royalty." That gives me a chance to get across my Republican views in a slight way. So we had everything. We had a premise. We had a synopsis. We had central characters. We had a theme. And that was from one escalator to another. So as I always tell people, ideas are everywhere. I took the phone out. I scribbled it down quickly on my phone. And by the time we got from the Northeast line to the downtown line, I had an idea for a book series.
Wonderful. I love that. A Royal Pain in the Class. It's Neil Humphrey's 20th book. And I guess, Neil, it's, as you say, aimed to a slightly older audience than Abbey Rose and the Magic Suitcase.
Definitely. 8 to 12, roughly. And people say, why do you keep, my publisher mainly, why do you keep writing in different genres? You know, stick to what you know. I like to test myself. You test yourself. You've done TV. You've done, you know, now you're doing radio. And I like to test myself. I've written my books on Singapore and funny stories in the heartlands, and I'm very grateful that they have an audience. I've written my crime thrillers, which I will go back to in 2019 and write the third one.
Written your football books?
I've written, that's absolutely right. I've written my football books. So I like to test myself. I have my Abbey Rose and the Magic Suitcase, which is for 4 and 5 year olds. So with this one, I wanted to see if I could write a book in a different gender, in a different age range. So she's a 10, 11 year old girl. And to see if I could find her voice. I think as a writer, that's the most challenging thing. Yeah. And what you're looking for, ultimately, as a writer, is you sit down in front of a laptop. This is the greatest aspect of being a writer. And all writers will know this. You know that when you sit down, you're going to write a chapter and you have to get from A to B in that chapter, in the plot. That's all you know. But on a really good day, the character herself, Princess Sabrina, takes over. And you get into a voice, and it sounds trite and cliched, but it writes itself because you're in the zone, you have the character's voice, and she just writes, and you become an 11-year-old girl, and she takes over. She takes over your subconscious. She takes over your psyche. You get her tone, her vocabulary, her sarcasm, her humor, her wit, and she just writes itself. And that's the best. And where that came from, Jason, very quickly, is when I was young, there was a very famous book in Australia too and Singapore called The Secret Diary of Adrian Mole, age 13 and three quarters. I'm sure you heard of it.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
It was a TV series. It's still in every Singaporean library to this day. It's still popular. It's been studied in British schools, Australian schools, Singaporean schools.
Yep.
And basically, it was a diary in the first person of a 13-year-old boy, but it was written by a middle-aged woman. And I thought, that's weird, because I was a 13-year-old boy when I read it. And I thought, how amazing and profound that a middle-aged woman can get into the mind of a 13-year-old boy so accurately and so wittily. And I thought, one day, I'm going to try that. And so I've turned it around. You've got a 44-year-old man writing as an 11-year-old girl, and it's wonderful.